Hi, this is Dean Koontz. Welcome to my podcast. I want to talk a little bit about the otherworldliness of dogs. My newest book, The Darkest Evening of the Year, is full of dogs, full especially of golden retrievers. And I have a long love of dogs that's well known to all of you who are regular readers of mine. And I have learned over the years that much of the wisdom about dogs, even by the experts, is not true. But I've also learned that there's a dimension to dogs that makes me believe there's something in them that approximates the human soul. It doesn't interfere with human exceptionalism. It doesn't mean that they are created in God's image as we are, but it does seem to me there's something deeper there and something that yearns for something more than this world. And I saw it very often in my dog in many ways. And I have a few little incidents I want to relate to you. My golden retriever, Trixie, was not with us very long. She had been an assistance dog to the disabled, and she had been in service for 6 months before an elbow surgery took her out of service. And so she'd been living with us a few months, I guess it was. And in the house where we lived at that time, there was a very long upstairs hall, maybe 100 feet that, or 80 feet, that was carpeted. And so in inclement weather or in the evening before bed, I would throw a ball down that hall, usually roll it. She would chase back and forth 40, 50 times, having a lot of fun with that that little bit of play before bed. And after those play sessions, we would usually lay down so she could regain her breath. And we'd lay down side by on our sides facing each other. And this dog loved to stare into your eyes. And she would stare into your eyes until you broke the stare. She never broke the stare. And I'd had experience of looking into her eyes for a half hour, 40 minutes longer, sometimes just to see how long she would do this. And I found it very mysterious and very unlike a lot of dogs. So she fascinated me for many reasons, and this was one of them. And, of course, I would pet her and stroke her side and scratch behind her ears. And we were lying there one night after a play session, and I had been staring into her eyes for about half an hour. And she had changed our lives so utterly for the better and so completely in so many ways that looking into her eyes, I said to her, "I know what you really are." And when I said that, she lifted her head and pricked up her ears and looked at me in such a strange way. She didn't break the stare, but she raised her head. And I said, just thinking I'm having fun with her, "You're not just a dog. You're an angel. You're a guardian angel." Well, Trixie exploded off the floor, ran down the hall about 20 or 30 feet, and stood looking back at me with her tail tucked, staring at me as if I had just outed her and she didn't now know what to do. It was one of the stranger moments I've ever had with a dog, and I couldn't coax her to me for a little while. And when I finally could, she came back and lay down on the floor, but she closed her eyes and wouldn't stare into mine anymore that evening. What did that mean? I have no idea, but it certainly was strange, and I think it was an indication of the otherworldliness of dogs. Then there was the night that Trixie saw something that we didn't, and a lot of dog owners would tell you they've had this experience, where it seems that dogs see something that we're incapable of seeing. What that is, whether it's part and parcel of the same things that all dogs see, whether it's an indication of an ability to see beyond the veil of this world, I don't know what it is. But what happened this evening was very, very strange indeed. We were in bed reading and just about to turn out the light and go to bed, but the door from the bedroom to the upstairs hall was open. Trixie was lying in her bed in the corner, and she was dozing, just about ready to go sound asleep, which she never would until we turned out the light, and she knew we weren't going to do anything interesting. We weren't going to play, or we weren't going to offer her any cookie. She wouldn't stay half awake until she was certain of that. And so she was there dozing and suddenly shot up from her bed, ran across the room as if alarmed, and out into the hall and disappeared. And the perimeter alarm was on in the house, so it didn't seem that anyone could have gotten in unless they had been in before we turned off on the alarm. And Gerda said, "What is that?" And I said, "I don't know." But Trixie was not a dog she was the mildest, calmest dog I've ever seen. She didn't bark for months sometimes at a time. And she wasn't barking now, but she was out in that hall. And I went out, and she was standing in the hall looking up at midair at about the eye level if she was looking up at a human being. But there was nobody there, and her tail was going. It was swishing back and forth. Now, most dogs, and Trixie was certainly this way, do not wag their tail at inanimate objects. They wag their tail at people. They wag their tail out of delight over something, but they don't wag their tail staring at an armchair or staring up into midair. So her tail was wagging vigorously, and as it would if she were confronting a person that she liked. And I said, Trixie, I talked to her. She wouldn't respond to me. She wouldn't acknowledge me at all, which was totally unlike her. And I went to put a hand on her, and she started trotting along the hall with her head raised, still raised, looking up at something. And she went into Gerda's office where there were no lights on, and I followed her in there and discovered that she had gone up to the desk and was staring across the desk as if someone were on the other side of it. And her head kept following something. And the tail kept going, and she was grinning now in pleasure. And she stood there for a minute, and now the hair started going up in the back of my neck, and I write spooky stuff, but not a lot of spooky stuff has ever really happened to me. Certainly only a couple of moments in my life that I would ever say, that might have been a supernatural event, but it was usually subtle sort of things. This was very eerie, and she followed this something, whatever it was, as it seemed to come out from behind the desk, and she still wasn't responding to me. She returned to the hall and trotted down the hall, went into Linda's office next to Gerda's. That was a dark office as well, so I turned on the lights, and there she was. And there she followed somebody around the whole office into the associated bathroom through the whole time, not looking down at the floor as a dog usually will, not tracing a scent, but looking up as if making eye contact with something. Or at least is looking up at something she wished to make eye contact with. And she followed it and came past me and back out into the hall again. And I still couldn't get her attention. Now she goes down the hall to my office and went in there. Her tail wagging, looked up. She was in there about 2 minutes, and I sat down in a chair watching her, and she walked all around the room, again as if following something. And then suddenly her tail stopped wagging. She sort of shook herself, and she turned around and grinned at me, and came over and sat to have her head scratched. And I looked at her and said, what were you looking at? Now, people have said to me, oh, there was an insect in the air that was flying around. I think I would have noticed an insect large enough to have attracted Trixie's attention, would surely have attracted mine. No, it wasn't that simple. I really believe she saw something that night. But it wasn't anything menacing. It was something positive, something that it was okay with her to be there, and she was charmed by it, and that never happened. After that, we had her for another 8.5 years and never repeated any similar incident of any kind. That, I thought, was an indication of the otherworldliness of dogs. When Trixie developed cancer, we were told at first, and I've written about this, so I won't dwell on it, but we first thought that it would be treatable with chemotherapy, and 2 days later learned that it wouldn't. But we still thought that she had a period of time, a couple of weeks, and then 2 days later discovered there was another tumor in the heart and that her time was going to be very limited indeed. And in fact, she only lived another 24 hours. But that 24 hours, she showed no pain. She still wanted to play. She was a vigorous dog through that whole evening before, which we spent at a house of friends whom she particularly loved, and she loved exploring their house. So she had a great last evening on this world. And the next morning woke up with terrible breathing problems, woke us up at 6 o'clock, and we thought that the blood clot, in addition to the tumor, she had a blood clot in her heart, and we thought the blood clot had broken loose and gone to the lung, and that she was having a pulmonary event, and she was not going to last more than another few minutes. And we held her, and this went on for about 20 minutes, which when it seemed it would not go on any length at all. And then she got her breath. She was able to get her breath. Whatever had happened passed. And she started wagging her tail, and everything was all right with her. And now it's about 6 in the morning, and that's normally pretty close to the time that we get up and go out for the morning walk and for her morning toilet. And I said, you want to go potty? And she got up and hurried ahead of me, and we went down to the bottom floor of the house, and she trotted out to the back door, went out onto the back deck, went out onto the lawn. You wouldn't have known a thing was wrong with her. She did number one, and then turned around and started to walk onto the deck. But her legs gave out under her, and she kept trying to get up again, and it became very clear where she wanted to go. She wanted to go to this divan, this outdoor furniture that looked out on the Rose Garden and areas that she particularly loved, and it was one of her favorite places on the whole property, if not the favorite, and she would lay there for an hour with me, and where I just rubbed her head, and she'd stare out at the birds and the flowers, and she just loved sitting there. And it was very clear to me, she knew her time was up. She knew she was going, and she wanted to go from that divan and nowhere else. And I lifted her up on it, and she sat on that divan in pretty good shape, not breathing in difficulties or anything else, for about 6 hours before events got worse. And we sat there with her, and eventually that was the divan in which she was put to sleep. But I know, as sure as I'm here, that she knew on some level that was had to be spiritual, not animal, that her time had come. And she was going to go where that was going to be best and sweetest for her. And that seemed to be another example to me of the otherworldliness of dogs. And someday I'll tell you a couple of more stories about that aspect of dogs' lives and about Trixie's in another podcast. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to know more about Trixie, about ongoing Trixie projects, about my books, about The Darkest Evening of the Year, which is the current title, please come to the website, which is deankuntz.com.